So, we will begin our final class in this series. It's a little difficult to follow up with after such a beautiful lila. I feel like kind of all you have to say is a few words, because the whole pastime and everything becomes actually three-dimensional, and one can start to get some conception how beautiful it would be in the spiritual realm and what it would be like when the gopis are moving and dancing and Madhu Mangal is making a bit of a fool of himself but trying his best and so forth. So it was thank you very much to the devotees who worked so hard to put on such a nice presentation. Now, I was thinking when I was preparing these classes that perhaps most of you here, like myself, will leave Braj in a few days and we'll go back into another atmosphere, an atmosphere in which we will have to deal with the other elements of our life. Now we're focusing on one single aspect and trying to keep our concentration and do the best we can. This is our challenge. But what do we do when we have to go back and we don't have these sparkling, wonderful Vrindavan settings, pastimes, katha, and so forth all around us? What do we do? So I think personally this is a very, very important question, specifically because I do this every year. So I have some experience of coming into this transcendental realm, adjusting to the laws of Vrindavan somewhat, to whatever degree I can, and then leaving again. So I wanted to share with you on this last evening, particularly for those who are more newcomers to the retreat, what you can do, how you can devise or develop your sadhana so that even when you're not in Vrindavan, you can keep making serious advancement. So when I was trying to prepare my notes, I kept being reminded of one occasion that took place in my life. It was perhaps in the month of May in 1970. And I had just gone to visit America. I arrived on the Saturday. So actually I arrived on the Monday. And so I spent a whole week with the people I was staying with there in America. And I had lots of plans for my life. I was planning to go on from there to England. In fact, I had sent all my most useful assets on by ship to England so I would catch them when I got there. And I was staying for the weekend when I went to the temple with some people I didn't know very well. So I was a little bit unsettled, and other than that, it was just a normal Sunday. But I went to the temple, and a series of events that were arranged very carefully and very personally by Krishna caused me to actually feel very strongly that my conscience, if you could call it like that, a voice that I was aware of, told me, in a way that I didn't even really like, that you should move in here. And I was so scared. I was so unprepared. I was always talking about looking for spiritual things. It was fashionable in those days. But I had no idea that I would do something like this. And I moved in. And It was quite terrifying, actually, because I didn't know what I was going to tell my mother, who was in Australia. What would I tell her? What would I tell? What about my career? I had a career plan for myself. I had opportunities ahead that I was looking forward to taking advantage of. Now that would all be changed. And my family situation was going to now radically change. And so, looking back on those days, they were both extremely profound and had a very elevated moments of experience and a sense of Krishna's care. And then very soon after that, they would dip right down into all kinds of unwanted thoughts. and I would become very unhappy. And at that stage, the highs and the lows were very extreme. And I went through that stage, and gradually, I got used to everything. I got used to the temple room, I got used to the devotees, I got used to the prasadam. And then that kind of the novelty that went along with my new spiritual experience began to wear off. Because it's quite important to note that in any new experience or a profound sudden experience, there will be two elements. There will be the experience itself and the newness. And when you come to Govardhan, I think like me, the first day, oh, I'm by the side of Giriraj. And then after a few days, oh, my stomach is aching, I'm hungry, where is this, where is that? Because I have now, or just like another example, you light some incense and you come into the room and for a moment you smell the fragrance. Isn't that nice? Ooh, that's nice incense. And then very soon after that, you don't smell it anymore. It's still there, but you're not conscious of it anymore. So what I see when I come to Govardhan is the possibility is offered to me and to you all to make a serious step forward in your advancement away from illusory Maya and towards Krishna. You can take the step if you want, or you can just let it sort of dissipate like the incense fragrance. So I'm, of course, assuming that everybody here, because you're such nice listeners, and it's so nice to talk to people who are seriously listening, it evokes one's eagerness to share. So I'm assuming that everybody here is interested in taking something with them. So I'm a little premature in talking like this, of course, because the retreat isn't finished yet. But because we're speaking on the level of sadhana, I will continue. So Maharaj has been teaching us from mana shiksha, instructions to the mind. In the Srimad Bhagavatam and in our line of Vaishnava acharyas, there are different ways that are recommended to deal with your mind. For example, some of our exalted personalities tell us we should beat the mind with a broom or with a shoe. And in the Bhagavatam, in different places, it says that you should ignore the mind. But when you read Raghunath Das Goswami's first verse, he says, "My dear brother mind." He treats his mind as a brother or as somebody who he has a connectedness with and whom he has to instruct. So he says, "My dear brother mind, I fall down at your feet and I beseech you, please." And then he gives, "Please do this, please do that, please don't do this, please don't do that." So this, in my understanding, in my own experience, I would say, not a philosophical understanding, but my own Krishna conscious growth, is the primary thing you can do to move quickly or to move very slowly. It's to educate and deal with your own mind. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that for one who has conquered the mind, the super soul is already reached. That's quite extraordinary. It's not like, therefore, a very easy thing to control the mind, because if you can control your mind, you can actually hear from Krishna. Krishna will talk to you. This is very extraordinary. So, how do we deal with our mind? I was thinking before coming down here, I could think of four different things that you have to do with your mind, and you have to develop a relationship where you take responsibility for your mind. One of them is you need to be able to examine yourself. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that every evening you should examine your day and you should think, did I make any advancement today? Or did I get just a little bit distracted by so many things and I didn't think of Krishna very much at all today? He explains that you examine the mind And then after you examine the mind, you see if day after day after day, the same thing is happening. If it happens once in a while, that's one kind of situation. But if it's happening every day, every day, every day, then you can understand, if I'm not making advancement, there is some kind of aparat, some kind of offense being committed by me. This is what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. And then he says, then you have to examine very carefully, find out what it is, and try to become free of it. So this is one, to examine yourself. See how you're doing. Take responsibility for your brother mind or sister mind. The second one is to encourage yourself. Because sometimes it has been my personal experience that I might be in the midst of a very transcendentally enlivening, ecstatic, exciting moment in time, and everyone is saying, this is so wonderful, and I look at myself and I'm not feeling anything. And then I feel some anxiety. Why am I not being able to enter into this? What is the difficulty? So one has to be able to give encouragement. Let me share with you a couple of short, very, very short excerpts where some encouragement is being given. In the Mathura Mahatma, Srila Rupa Goswami says, in fact, the whole Mathura Vrindavan region is so spiritually powerful that the mere desire to go there is liberating. If a man decides in his mind, I will go and live in Mathura, he will be freed from the wheel of samsara simply by having such thoughts. So here is a function of the mind, to have some very powerful influence of the Dharma, influence of the philosophy, influence of association, and to take that and to be very encouraged. I can do something with this. I can move forward. And here is another encouraging comment from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who's very practical in when it comes to our sadhana. And as I said yesterday, all the bhajans that he wrote and composed comprise the life of bhajan, sadhan and bhajan. So he says, Sri Krishna exhorts everyone to remain unperturbed in their own particular level of perception. I'll read that again. Sri Krishna exhorts everyone to remain unperturbed by their own particular level of perception. These are words of encouragement, which is according to their eligibility. And at the same time, they should engage sincerely in bhajan from that very point. Not trying to come up to some unreachable state, but wherever you are, work from there. Work from there and go upward. He gradually purifies, this is Krishna, mercifully, he gradually purifies the consciousness of those who follow his advice, and he rewards them with a transcendental vision of the eternal platform. So I think this is very encouraging. Do you agree? That Krishna is saying to us, work from where you are, keep going, become a little patient, become determined, and I am going to reciprocate with you for all your hard endeavors. So we need to have, like, I think of it because I'm an artist, so I see everything in pictures. So I see all of these quotes or all of these points as like a medicine cabinet. If you have a first aid box, you have something for snake bites, something for burns, something for abrasions, something for somebody who breaks a leg, something for every occasion, because any of those things could happen, and that's what's inside. All the antidotes, all the solutions to these particular problems. So one of those medicines is to give yourself, through the mind, encouragement. Another is to examine yourself. Another one is to chastise yourself. If you don't do that, you won't make any progress. Srila Prabhupada explained that a serious student and a first-class spiritual master, the spiritual master will continuously chastise and correct that student. And if the spiritual master sees that this particular person is coming forward to me, but they're not so serious, he may say, "That's all right, you've done so nicely, thank you, thank you, thank you," and just accept. Because that person at that moment does not have the depth of sincerity that would allow him to be corrected. And it seems a little mysterious, but when that person starts to become more attention, more serious, more alert, more conscious, then the spiritual master may start to prune and say, "Look at that, that's not acceptable. Look at this, why do you still do that?" And so we must learn to do this ourselves as well. We must have a bottle of chastisement in our medicine cabinet. And then the last one that I have written down here, and of course anyone could create their own list, is to enlighten yourself. This is basically the most important thing of all. You have to have sustenance. So how do we enlighten ourselves? We have to hear. We have to do all the activities that Satchinandan Maharaj was describing we should do here in Vrindavan in relationship to Radha and Krishna and Giriraj and the wonderful Leela of Radha and Krishna. We have to continue to do things like that, hearing and chanting, working hard to give ourselves nourishment wherever we are, according to the moment, according to our level of perception. We have to continue in this way. I have one quote also to share with you here to do with chastisement. Now this one, I'm not going to read the whole page, but this, interestingly enough, is part of a conversation between our Giriraj Maharaj and Srila Prabhupada. And I don't know if it took place on one of those morning walks with Dr. Patel. But you were asking, Giriraj Maharaj, you were asking Prabhupada about Goloka Vrindavan and that there were no demons. Do you remember this conversation? If not, I will continue and you can... Okay. And Prabhupada said, "No, in Goloka Vrindavan, there cannot be any demons. How can it be in Vaikuntha? Vaikuntha means where there is no anxiety. So the situation of anxiety is created by the demons. Therefore, when Krishna wants to fight, he has to come down to the material world to fight. There is no chance of fighting there." So then Giriraj Maharaj asked, "But the sentiment of anxiety or fear for Krishna, is that sentiment in Golok?" Do you remember this? Would you like to share with us? Okay, I'll read and then you can share. Srila Prabhupada said, "No, there is no such thing. That is called separation. So there's no separation in Golok." But then he continued and he said, "Just like the gopis, they are full of anxiety. Oh, Krishna has gone to the pasturing ground. Their anxiety is there." Just like Rukmini, she was thinking, "Oh, Krishna may not give me up. He is talking in that way." And then she fainted. So much anxiety is there. So the anxiety is that one may not be separated from Krishna. Now, so far we're not getting a chastisement, we're getting enlightenment. And then Prabhupada said, "That is the anxiety. And actually there is no separation. But the feeling of separation out of ecstatic love, just like one who has got love for another person, a beloved, He always thinks like that. My beloved may not be separated from me. And here's your chastisement. That is the ecstasy of love. Just like a miserly man who has got much wealth, he always thinks, my money may not be lost, my money should not be lost. Out of too much attachment for the money, he thinks like that. Is it not? So we have to go gulp. How can I protect this money? How shall I protect this? And then Prabhupada says, to earn money is also troublesome. To keep money, also troublesome. And when it is lost, that is also troublesome. That is the position. So we have to say to ourselves, what are you doing when we're wasting our time? What are you doing? You were just in Vrindavan. You were just beside Govardhan. And look what you're doing now. Look what you're filling your consciousness with. We have to do this. It's very important as part of our medicine. Maharaj, do you have anything to share with us? I think we're remembering Prabhupada.
I do remember the walk. It was a morning walk on Juhu Beach. And I remember where on Juhu Beach the chastisement part came. And I remember the principle that fear of demons is ultimately fear of separation from Krishna. And every anxiety is ultimately fear of separation from Krishna. Earlier we heard about the fact that Krishna enjoys his pastimes in Boma Vrindavan even more than in Goloka Vrindavan because there are demons. And there are husbands like
more dramatic.
Yes.
More exciting.
Yes. And one morning, I don't even know how it happened, we were sitting in the temple room, that little shed of a temple that we had, and discussing this point that Krishna's pastimes in Boma Vrindavan are actually more relishable. And later, Tamal Krishna Goswami reported to Srila Prabhupada about the discussion we had had. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is how you should spend your time, discussing these topics.
I should have Prabhupada. So this is how we should spend our time, wherever we are, whether we're here at the feet of Giriraj or whether we're going back to one country or another. We must learn the sadhana. Sadhana, of course, for those who are English-speaking or not Hindi speakers. Sadhana bhakti doesn't mean some exotic term. Sadhana means your practice. So we have to practice. Otherwise, how will we clean the heart so that we can approach our relationship with Krishna in a very real and vital way? Now, I'd like to share with you a couple of quotes that I have. Another suggestion I have for anyone who is interested is that I like to read Srila Prabhupada's books and so forth on the computer. And so when I'm reading, if I find anything that particularly strikes me, I very quickly take it out and make it into a quote. And then I do a little dressing up and laminate it, and I put these on my wall so that I have on my wall pictures and pictures and pictures, and also I have quotes. And because they're laminated, they last a long time. And they're very nice to give to people as well. So it's a very nice habit, a very good habit. So let me read a couple that I found when I was preparing for this retreat. Prabhupada said, I may dream so many things, yet there is nothing such thing. I am simply dreaming. In the dream, I may fall in a dark well, and I am now suffocating. But actually, it's a dream. There is no well, and there's no suffocation. But because I'm absorbed in the dream, I'm focused intently on the dream, all these material ideas are present. When one has a bad dream, they factually suffer. If you've seen somebody having a bad dream, they can be screaming because of what they're experiencing on the subtle plane. When one has a bad dream, they factually suffer. They are suffering and crying, "Save me, save me, save me." But actually, there is nothing material. But due to our dreaming that I am separate from Krishna, and therefore I am Mr. or Mrs. American, Mr. or Mrs. Indian, I'm Mr. or Mrs. This, or Mr. or Mrs. That, I believe that I have got this or that duty. And this is called Maya. You've got no other duty than to serve Krishna, because you're part and parcel of Krishna, that's all. When this consciousness comes, when we get to this stage where we think like this naturally, then everything that we see around us, everything is seen as spiritual. And you see, when we see the world as spiritual, we see it in relationship to Krishna, we have so many ways we can use things without becoming lost and forgetful. He said, when that consciousness comes, then everything is seen as spiritual. We have to change our consciousness, that's all. And then we understand that everything is spiritual. One more very nice quote. I labeled it the friendship of Sri Krishna. So everybody wants a friend. Because Krishna is the most compassionate friend of all living beings and is their original spiritual master, Krishna, without regard for spiritual qualifications or abilities, tries to engage everyone in devotional service. He doesn't care. He doesn't look at us like that. Oh, I'm not sure about this one. He tries to engage everyone. He tries to engage all the senses of everyone in devotional practices, beginning with hearing and chanting of his glories. And when he sees some positive response from a conditioned soul, Krishna becomes extremely pleased. We should trust this. We should try and trust this. We should, if we don't trust it, as Sachinandan Maharaj explained, the best teacher is experience. We should make steps forward in trying to experience Krishna's friendship, experience his reciprocation, and become alive to that. Because this makes Krishna consciousness so delicious and so exciting that the other things that other people are doing, although they may be very distracting, they don't have the same flavor. At core, we don't really want to be doing them. We feel unfortunate if we get distracted into some other realm of thought. And we make our way back quickly as possible, to Krishna's thought of Krishna. So Krishna becomes extremely pleased. And then, do you know what he does? When he's pleased, he showers favors on the candidate for his service. He reciprocates. In the story, which you may well know, in the story of Mother Yasoda binding Lord Krishna, Mother Yasoda tried so hard to bind up Krishna. She was very determined. And Krishna was equally determined not to be bound. And so, of course, Krishna was successful in his desire. And Mother Yasoda exhorted all her friends to help and called them in to give some rope because she had kilometers of rope. But when she would, it was inconceivable. She had so much rope, the room was full of rope. And when she tried to get the two ends and tie them, they didn't go. And she was so much, what is this? What is this? And as we hear from Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, that it was 2 inches too short. 1 inch was her endeavor, and the other inch was that Krishna didn't want to be tied up. So one is his mercy reciprocation with us, and the other is our effort to try to please him. These two things, we have to become very clever devotees and see which one of these I need to bring up. If I'm feeling lazy and not very enthused, then I work on my endeavor. And if I'm feeling anxious and worried and feeling that I can't possibly please Krishna, then I work on understanding his reciprocation, his mercy. So the gratitude that the sadhak feels seeing Krishna showering his kindness upon them, it's mutual. It goes both ways. Krishna is pleased, and when you see it, you feel pleased. So this gratitude is mutual. Just like as people in general are satisfied with someone who significantly helps them, all of Krishna's devotees are ever thankful to the Lord. And when Krishna sees his devotees practicing devotional service, he considers them his most gracious benefactors. So just look how he looks at us. And now we have to do our part. We have to make an active endeavor on our side, and we will see his reciprocation will be there. So how are we going for time? Oh, we're very late. Well, I think that I would like to read you a little bit of a pastime, but since we're getting a little late, we are getting late. I have to listen to him. Otherwise, I'll never hear the end of it. You'll have to ask him. Srila Jiva Goswami also describes the pastime of when Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. Now, I'm not going to read, of course, the whole thing because our time is short. But there's a little section here that I really liked. And, of course, what happened was that, as we know, Krishna went ahead and had his festival very happily, and all the residents of Braj, they all immediately cooperated with him. Immediately. Whatever he said, they did it. So we might feel sometimes, if I just try and please Krishna, what will happen to me? Maybe I'll get myself into a risky, dangerous sort of a situation. Maybe I'll step off the edge of a cliff, poof, and there'll be nothing there, and I'll fall to the ground. So we have that kind of fearfulness. But here what happened was, that did happen. As soon as they had finished their festival, Indra said, "All right, if you're going to listen to him and not to me, I'll show you my power." He became very angry. "Krishna has prevented my sacrifice," he thought. And why did he think that Krishna had prevented his sacrifice? Because Krishna had an inflated pride. So you see how when we have an inflated pride, everyone else has an inflated pride. So he took very personally Krishna's words, which were critical of him, even though they weren't spoken directly to him. He took them very personally, and he decided to show, "I will show you what I can do." So he sent immediately the most powerful clouds to destroy Braj and to chastise all the cowherds who were worshipped by the whole universe. So first from the north, icy winds began blowing and dense black clouds appeared covering the sky, while thunder rolled constantly. The cowherds then brought all the cows inside to the cow barns. Seeing all these ill omens, they surrounded Krishna and they remained in that position. Then at Krishna's request, Krishna told them, go to Giriraj. And at this time, forceful rains and so forth are there. Krishna said, if Indra is producing this rain to destroy the universe, Govardhan, Giriraj, who is the giver of unlimited shelter, will be merciful to you. Previously, the people of Braj had taken shelter of their courtyards and strongholds, their houses, the barn, and banyan trees and high hills. They'd gone up high to get away from the rain. But now they were afflicted by crooked blasting winds, which felled huge trees and made terrifying sounds. When the people gave up the shelter of their homes, the fierce biting wind wandered about with ever-increasing boldness. So it wasn't immediate that they got Krishna's shelter. They had to trust. They had to take what we'd say, the leap of faith. Because why do you have to sometimes take a leap of faith? Because Krishna wants to reciprocate with you. He doesn't want to force you. He wants to lovingly exchange with you. And you're the one, I'm the one, who, as Maharaj is fond of saying, is the one who has broken the relationship. He hasn't broken it. He's seated within the heart, waiting to give us all kinds of guidance. But we're the one who said, I don't need that. I've got my own plans how to proceed. So they came out. They came to Giriraj. The hail was as hard as thunderbolts, making the sun appear to fall from its orbit. In this condition, the cowherds all surrendered completely to Krishna. Krishna, in turn, lifted up Govardhan Hill with his hand in such a way that no one at all could understand how he did it. They didn't know what happened. Seeing the rain sent by Indra, the maker of clouds, was causing such intense fear and pain, Krishna, who produces only auspiciousness, began to reflect. He said, I think Indra, with his pride, believes that I am very far away. Now here's something to think. If I think that Krishna is very far away, I should see if there's some pride. It's like, you know, when you have telescope. If you take a telescope and you look through it in the right way, then that brings things very distant close. But if you turn it the other way around and look through the telescope, it brings things very close, way off into the distance. So the surrender, the opposite of the surrender, is pride. When we turn the telescope the pride way, Krishna is very far away. It appears to us. Because I am the only resort of these cowherds, they are my heart, and I treasure them as my very life. There was much confusion when Krishna lifted up that mountain. He began to discuss this with Balaram. Just imagine, he lifts up not just one small hill, we heard thousands of peaks of Giriraj. So he lifts this up, and just imagine everybody's like looking, what is this tender young boy lifting up mountain range? Imagine if you were to lift up huge mountainous areas on one little finger. So they didn't know what to do, and Balaram was also confused. And thus, while reducing the pride of the rumbling thunder with his deep, sweet voice, extending far into the distance towards the family of cowherds, this, who were now consumed in needless fear. They were terrified, but it was needless. So Krishna spoke to them very clearly. He called out the word, "Oh," and extended it in length. "Oh, my mother, do not delay. Oh, father, please come. Oh, elders, bring everyone." Then Balaram brought them all closer. And he again spoke to them. He said to them, Krishna said to them, "Oh, father, do not fear. Oh, mother, do not be troubled. Oh, friends, be happy. I am not exerting myself at all, since merciful Govardhan himself is rising up upon my hand. He is as light as a piece of cotton. Look, you will see within the great mountain there is a big hole and there is a ladder going down as if it's going to Patala Loka. So enter in here, because the mountain is so broad, this area here is not wet, it's not slippery. Come inside." Seeing that they were still confused, they couldn't understand what was taking place, and that thinking that he should not hold up the hill, they didn't want to see him holding up the hill, Krishna again spoke to them, and he said, "Oh, respectable people, do not forbid me to do this on the advice of my mother. How can the mountain fall from the hand of somebody who was able to lift it? Nevertheless, whatever you think, do not delay, for by seeing your suffering, I will tremble, and then the mountain will fall. So quickly come inside." So this is the transformation we have to make in our own conceptualization, understanding, and feelings towards Krishna. We have to change from the idea that he's some kind of a very neutral personality. Of course, as a Paramatma, he remains neutral because he doesn't interfere in the freedom of the individual jiva. But he's not at all neutral to his devotees. He's so partial. He's so friendly. But here's the very straight truth, is that in order to recognize his friendliness, we have some work to do. We have to cleanse our consciousness. And when that is done, and gradually, from whatever level of advancement and realization we're situated on, we will come up, 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 up. And as we come up, our confidence in ourselves will increase, that, oh, I'm actually steadily serving now. And also our confidence in Krishna will increase. Oh, he must be supporting me, because I'm such an unsteady person. If I'm steady, it must be he alone who is supporting me. And then the love will come. Now, yesterday morning, I think it was, to finish up, yesterday morning I had put on a tape, a recording of a lecture of Srila Prabhupada. I looked through the subtitles, you know, they each have a title. And this particular one was called "Getting God to Talk to You." Now, I'm not very technologically advanced, so I'm just going to see if I can find it again. I'm hoping so. Yes. So it was called "Getting God to Talk to You." And when I went into the bathroom and the tape was playing, and at first, you know, there's this, where it says, you know, this, it gives an introduction, another voice, another devotee introduces the lecture. So I was not paying that much attention. And then I was in the bathroom, and then about 2 minutes later, Srila Prabhupada says, "Thank you very much." And everyone goes, "Jai!" And I thought, that was a short lecture. So I turned it back to the start, and I went back into the bathroom, and the same thing happened. I thought, that was such a short lecture. And then I looked at the recorder, and it said it was a 20-minute lecture. And I thought, how did that happen? And I cannot tell you how it happened, because I had never had such an experience before. But when I came out, I tried to find what it was that became the substance of this 2-minute lecture. And I found it again. And I want to share this with you. I hope I can be technologically proficient enough to be able to do so. Just one moment. Okay, we'll start again. Prabhupada is saying, if you think I have chanted my 16 rounds.
My 16 rounds. Now I've finished my business. Now I can do whatever nonsense I like. No.
Now I've finished my business. Now I can do whatever nonsense I like. No.
Krishna says no. Sadata. Therefore we have to plan our life in such a way that we haven't got any other engagement than service of Krishna.
No other engagement than service of Krishna.
Tisham satata jukta. Satata means 24 hours. Jukta means engagement. What is that engagement? Bhajatam.
Bhajatam.
Bhajat. Sivayam. To serve Krishna.
To serve Bhajatam. Krishna.
How? Priti purvaka. Not that, Krishna has said, all right, let me do. No, with love and
with
affection.
Love and affection.
Then we'll get attachment.
Then
unless
you'll get attachment.
Develop love for Krishna, you cannot be engaged 24 hours. That is not possible. Therefore it is said, priti purvaka. Not appreciate, but with love.
This is the point that, of course, our Satchinandan Maharaj has been making to us over and over and over again. Not officially. Not because I'm a member of a particular religious group and so therefore I do this and that and so forth every day. And not mechanically. But actually we desperately need to develop a sense of love on whatever level we're practicing.
If you acquire this qualification, then you will talk with Krishna who is within your heart. He will give you instruction.
If you acquire this qualification, then you will talk with Krishna who is within your heart. He will give you instruction. So Srila Prabhupada is really telling us how we can get to this wonderful state when our relationship with Krishna is so real to us that just as I was saying, we have the tree, the real tree up here and the reflected tree down here, that even though I'm still so much stuck up with the reflection, I'm still so absorbed in it, but it's now embarrassing. And really what I would like to be doing would be finding out more and more about the reality, because the reality has fruits and flowers with fragrance and taste. And the reflection has no fragrance and no taste. And therefore, we're so silly, like animals that run into the desert. We're so silly that we don't get the taste we want from the material things. And so what do? We do more. It didn't give us the taste to begin with. And we think, I don't have enough. I should get more of this and that will give me a taste. It's so illogical. Maya makes us very silly.
And get rid of this hellish condition of life and go back to home and back to God. Thank you very much.
So that was the very short lecture. It was only about 2 minutes long. I thought, I've never heard a 2-minute long lecture. So I was thinking that just as everyone, Satchinandan Swami had a mysterious morning darshan, and Prabhuji had some reciprocation, I thought, oh, Srila Prabhupada is so kind that he's also encouraging me to continue to enliven the devotees as best I can, even though my particular level of advancement is so low. Because these practices exist all the way up. So if you take the practices wherever you are, you go up higher still. So it's true for all of us. So I'll stop here and thank everybody for your kind listening and for coming tonight. I didn't think anyone would come after such a wonderful conclusion and crescendo with a beautiful drama. So I'm so much appreciative that you've taken your time and come. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Oh, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, get it over done, get it over done, get it over done, get it over done. Nitai Gaura Hareva, 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 Gaura Hareva. Jai Prabhupada, 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 Jai Prabhupada. Jai Jai Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada.